Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, we're wrapping up our prayer campaign that we have been doing this summer. And I'm going to give you a free prayer tool. I'll explain what that is. And I hope you didn't miss the last few episodes. We did a few topics that related to the beginning of school. One is all about learning disabilities and how we have been so lied to. This is you see my hands, right, going around and around. We're discovering we've been lied to in a lot of institutions, right? And we've discovered that in school, and I talked about that and how we can overcome that and how things can be much easier than you've been led to believe. And I did manners and clothes and some encouragement for the start of school. And I'm seeing so many questions from new homeschoolers. So even though I did a whole series on homeschooling back in May, and I have two sets of product, I'm still going to talk about that next time, because I'm seeing a lot of questions, particularly with younger children. So I'll address that. But today, prayer. Okay, welcome everybody. Good morning. I know it might not be morning where you are, but I was always on the radio early Saturday morning, so I like to say good morning. So we are going to talk about prayer and the prayer campaign. So we've been running this summer. I felt like the grandmothers of us wanted to pray, but probably you all do too. Everybody does. And so many things are happening in the news. If you're paying attention to the news, you may be like me, just feeling paralyzed and mesmerized. But we need to get over that. We need to, you know, sort of get our oars in the water and pray. And, oh, so much better than being carried along by the current. And so just some more rest and a tool and expectation got me back into the groove, and I hoped that it would help you. So thank you for praying with me, really, because it's been great for me. And of course, you're aware that many other people have been running prayer campaigns, and I encourage that. So let me just give you a little bit of history about prayer. So as soon as the printing press was invented, the first book that was printed was the Bible. And very soon after that, political tracts and prayer books. And so people were praying using prayer books. And you even see in the history of Wesley, he would be riding his horse and praying with his prayer book, because after all, he was a minister of the Church of England that had a prayer book. And so the old denominations then would publish books so that all of their clergy could be on the same page. But people who had enough affluence might have a book and pray with the book. You saw, you know, King Henry VIII's the last wife, she was very much praying in her prayer book. And she even wrote a book. Okay, that encouraged women to submit to their husbands and pray. So then, about the time of Wesley, praying extemporaneously became, I don't know if I should say in fashion or the new revelation. And so, And preaching also became more extemporaneous and less academic. And then oh, maybe about 30 years ago, declarations and decrees came out in more than one school of thought in the church. I know not all branches of the church just use that, but it started then, and there was some cross-fertilization between those schools. And in the past maybe 10 years or so, more and more people have been using prayer tools, which are written decrees, declarations, of course scripture. And particularly there is a branch within the Nigerian church that uses those. And I recently was on a prayer retreat led by some of these folks, and it was a lot of fun, very, you know, refreshing and encouraging. Not that I agree with exactly all of their theology, little detail there, but that doesn't matter in this point, except don't get offended because I mentioned another group. And the point is, this is what a prayer tool is written scriptures, prayers, and decrees and declaration. And particularly when you're feeling tired or mesmerized or overwhelmed, you can use this as a good springboard to your own prayer. And so that's what I have, which I'm calling the Grandmother's Prayer Tool. And you can go to the website, which you know alternately is greatshalom.org or overcominglearningproblems.org. You can go there, and you should have a form to sign up, and the prayer tool will be sent to you immediately, and then you'll sign up for my announcements, which are somewhat few. Or if I can't get the form to work, because I'm right in the middle of that, then I'll just email you. But that's the deal. So let me talk a little bit about praying. Well, what was it that I was going to say now that I've thought about my struggles? Of course, you know that we should pray. We should pray all the time. Our life should be a prayer. But most of us find it very helpful to spend some directed, focused, quiet time in the morning to set our day. And most of us have had the experience of feeling not worthy to pray. So one way of starting prayer is to remind yourself and the Lord and the spiritual world of your promises in God, that you are accepted in the Beloved, and that we come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. You recognize these scriptures, I hope. And it's always a good to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So this, I think, is a good runway. Once you're ready to pray, this is a good runway to start again in prayer, is thanking the Lord for what you do have, thanking the Lord particularly for the provisions he's made. Thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for sending us Holy Spirit. Thank you for creating the world. Thank you for, you know, paying attention to us and having watchful care over us. And then praise God. We thank you that you are good and your mercy is everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. So this is said many times in the scripture. I think this was worship in the temple. It's in Psalms and so forth. This is a great way to start, is with thanksgiving and with praise. And then present petitions to the Lord. Now, we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, which is our model prayer, that we should forgive others, right? And our forgiveness then unstops the blockage from God forgiving us and for the blessings. So this is a fine thing to add in, is by dint of will to forgive others and present petitions. And of course you want to pray for your children, your offspring, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and for your students. And so you're going to claim scripture promises. This is always a great method of prayer. In fact, the prayer books were written this way. Although that might not be obvious to you, they were intended to be written this way. Sometimes they got some bad theology in those prayer books, or of course you can't expect them to have the revelation that we have today, perhaps. But yeah, there is some bad theology in some of those prayer books, but mostly they start out with using biblical words. So of course the best scripture that I can suggest is the foundational scripture for this broadcast. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their total well-being. So this is Isaiah 54 and 13. Jesus quotes this also. So that's a great place. Pray great well-being over your children. And pray that you are empowered, equipped, motivated, and helped to teach them about the Lord. Of course, we're given many blessings in Deuteronomy 28, but they're contingent on adhering to and obeying the dictates of the Lord. And since none of us do that perfectly yet and consistently yet, then claim the merits of Christ, for Jesus fulfilled all the law. Right? And we claim not our own merits, but the merits of Jesus. Ask for Holy Spirit's help in your prayer. Ask, claim, really, the promises of the covenant of protection for you and for your offspring. So, Psalm 91, protection. And you can just pray that down. Psalm 103, blessings. You can pray that down. Psalm 112 begins with promises for the offspring of the righteous. And while you and I might not feel righteous, some days very much we don't feel righteous, nevertheless, we're claiming our covenant that we are in Christ. We are blessed in Christ, even with all of the blessings of Abraham. And for that, see Galatians and 3, chapter 3. So this is the logic for strong prayer. And particularly when you don't feel like it, it's helpful to have a tool, have those scriptures written down. Another method, of course, is to memorize those scriptures. And until you've memorized them, then have a list. Turn to Psalm 23, then turn to Psalm 91, and then 103, and then 112, and Isaiah 54, and Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 3, and Colossians and so forth, and pray this scripture. And of course, another, and I just love this, is singing scripture. To me, that's one of the most precious things. I was in a group that sang scripture when I was young, and some of these scripture songs are well known. I have sat at a table, you know, many, many thousands of miles away with people who are, very, very different, and we could sing these scripture songs together. And some of them were given to us, you know, even I have a song, scripture song, that the tune was given to me, and I'm no musician, I don't know a bridge from a chorus, but nevertheless, I can sing that song because I had been praying and meditating that song, and went to work one day, and I was, as I was walking around and doing the physical work, the tune came to me. So, scripture songs. And one of the scripture songs I love is that God will complete the work that he began in us. And so, that's a great way to end. It happens to be in Jude, so you can pray through the scriptures. That's why I thought of that. But you see a model for prayer in the heroes of the Bible. So David was out watching the sheep as a youth, and he was praying and singing scriptures. And it is likely that it was for this. This formed his heart, and his heart was what attracted God's notice, as it were, and the recognition that he got and the service that he was able to perform as king because he was a worshiper. We see this in the life of David. We see this, of course, in the life of Jesus. Jesus himself pulled away, found time in a busy ministry life to spend time with God. And I don't know, would Jesus have torn his hair out if he had all those multitudes and didn't have fellowship with God? I don't know. Anyway, we do know that he was tempted in all the ways we are. But even Jesus, sinless Jesus, took time away from his sleep. And he got up early in the morning. He was up late at night. You can tell these by the stories. He was going away to a solitary place to pray. And no wonder when they were on the Sea of Galilee, he was sleeping because, you know, he was a human being. So this we see. It's important to pray. You can't get away from the eyes of God anywhere, but oh, how wonderful to feel the fellowship. And for us, it seems that we need to focus so that we can feel the fellowship of God, that Jesus has said he would never leave us or forsake us. He said he would send the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. But it seems that we can't feel it or see it or hear it unless we practice the quiet of prayer. Now, I do know people who walk around in communication with God, and I recommend that, and I aspire to that. But I really think that in the busyness of life, we will never get there if we don't spend some quiet time in prayer. And so, particularly in this difficult, shaking time that we have, we see that so much wickedness is being exposed. So much corruption is being exposed and discussed and talked about and argued about. And for some people, there is a great deal of confusion. For others, it's not confusion, but it's overwhelm of dirt. And it's just astounding. So for so long, it was hard to believe. These things are so bad, they're hard to believe. Every day you can get at least 3 reports of things going on that are so bad, it's hard to believe. And then you hear it again and again from a more reliable source, and then again, and it's too much. And I think good people's circuits are being fried. That's how I feel. But I think that other people will have other difficulties. Some people will feel like the world is not stable. And for some of us, our stability is not in this world. It's in the next. And so that's not the problem. The problem is just shock about evil. But for some people who live in, I just really am amazed at some people who grew up very differently from me, who have been around worse people than me, they assume that. And so they're not nearly so shocked. But anyway, it's still hard to have faith. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, I don't want to speak. Each of us have our own faith obstacle. That's what I should say. I don't want to say that it's hard to have faith. Each of us has our own faith obstacle. And each of us has our own battle. But as we pick up the sword of the word, and as we don the shield of faith, we get more accustomed to using it. So it's time to pick them up and not let our hands hang down, not let our feet grow weak, but shod ourselves with the gospel of shalom and sally forth in our assignments, going forward. And of course, it's wonderful if we can lock shields with other people. And so if you can get some prayer warriors, great. It is much harder than one might imagine. So first, I want to offer some appeal to correction. If you are using your prayer ability to get attention to yourself, if you're using that prayer to be powerful over other people, you need to stop. You need to stop doing that. Because you're giving prayer and God a bad name, and you are discouraging, not encouraging people. You think you're encouraging people because you have these little monologues, and then you go on patting yourself on the back when in fact you have only verbally asserted yourself over the situation. You haven't encouraged anybody. Quite the reverse. So don't do that. And don't use prophecy as self-promotion. Please. Okay, but if you can find people to pray with, wonderful. Find friends who act like friends. And there are prayer initiatives that I encourage you. That's not my calling. That's not my assignment right now. I've got my plate full. But Dutch Sheets, who has been an intercessor for a long time, is running Give Me 15. He does it on podcast or another platform of videos that seems to be free that I'm not going to mention. And there are other prayer calls. I have a lot of friends who get on prayer calls that are run by various ministry groups. And, you know, may all of those tribes continue. I have friends who have for 10 years gathered together across congregations in their town and pray for this nation. Hallelujah. I don't know why I can't get that together in my metro area, but haven't been able to, but I guess that's not my assignment. And I know of nothing like that. But there are prayer groups that, you know, some churches establish prayer groups. Good. And I know of one small group that was established by a political group. And good. And may all of those tribes continue. Because we are taught in 1 Timothy that we should give prayer for all people, and especially for those who have the rule over us. Now, in a democracy, we're not supposed to actually have rulers. We're supposed to have representatives. Free men instruct their representatives. That's actually the language that our founders would have used. But anyway, we do have people who wield a lot of power in our societies, and we should pray for them. We should pray for them for a number of reasons. The scripture says so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Well, what does that mean? Well, first, we should pray that they have good counsel and that they are godly and institute a godly administration. That way we'll have a better life. You know, people groan when the rulers are evil. But also, of course, we should pray for them, you know, just as people in the Bible times prayed for their kings and for Caesar and so forth, because they were good citizens. And maybe the king's heart was touched. You see that in the old prayer books, for instance, the Book of Common Prayer in Church of England, they're going to pray for the monarch, and rightly so. So, but it shouldn't be a ritual. In fact, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That may have been about ritual. So don't pray as a ritual, but do regularly pray and mean it, okay? Mean that you want godly rulers. Mean that the Lord can direct the heart of the king. And mean that he'll have good counsel. But when you see a very, very wicked usurper, what do you do? This is what I'm going to suggest. Of course, follow Holy Spirit. But what I'm going to suggest is pray that God grant him repentance or remove him. And this may not be a public prayer. In public, you may have to be deferential. But this is how I pray when I am convinced that the ruler's heart is hardened for wickedness. Okay. And as I say, in the United States, we're not supposed to be having rulers. But anyway, apparently there are a number of people who think they should be world rulers. All right, so we pray that God would grant them a repentance. But should they choose not to take it, that God would remove it and relieve us and give us peace and freedom. Well, peace and liberty. Notice liberty takes self-responsibility. You have to have more self-governance if you have less civil governance, right? But that's the plan of God. God's administration has a great deal of civil governance. And teach your children this, give them a legacy, pray with your children as well as in your own prayer time, and give them a taste of this. And we should talk about introducing children to real spirituality. If I haven't recently, we should talk about that. So, and of course, singing the scripture and even dancing and worshiping and tambourines and stuff, there's nothing better for your learning disabled students. Nothing better. Okay? And be encouraged that God does hear. God does hear. There is no scripture that says God answers no. There is no scripture. So if you're praying in faith with a clean heart, earnestly, you know that there is much power. You know the verse in James about Elijah. Great effectual prayer, right? And we're righteous because of Christ's righteousness. Be encouraged. Pray together. Don't let Satan mesmerize you and paralyze you, because you have angel armies at your disposal, at your prayer. Hallelujah. And remember that God has already told you his will. God has already told you his will. And if you pray according to the will of God, of course you're going to get your answer. And what is the will of God? God wants total well-being for all children. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents, because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website greatshalom.org, greatshalom.org. Get this book.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
Don't forget to come to the website to get your grandmother's prayer tool, free PDF, about 3 pages long. Will help you pray. So the website is overcominglearningdisabilities.com. And please share that information with your friends and those who are interested. Helps us get the word out. And also, we've got a shop there. I've got a whole series on how to teach reading and writing. I've got a whole series that's encouragement for homeschooling for those who need that. I've got lots of other things, a lot of resources. You could also write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.